Romans chapter 10. And let's begin with verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will not be put to shame. And then, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, who richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So let's just stop. So calling on the name of the Lord, believing in him in your heart, confessing that Jesus is Lord, makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world. Well, what is going on in the heart is an important thing, for it is in the heart that our greatest endeavors begin, and it is in the heart where our greatest failures begin as well. And I couldn't help but think of Psalm 19, so beautiful. In fact, Anthony's got a new tattoo there with part of Psalm 19 on it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. But you get down to the end of Psalm 19, and it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. The meditation of my heart. It is those thoughts that are going on within us, which is the place where our greatest things we ever accomplish are started. It is also where our greatest failures are started. And so it's there within us that God's work has to be done. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Because it is possible for us to conduct ourselves in such a way that people looking at the outside have no idea what's going on the inside. And you know, sometimes we want that. I have a lady that I know who works at Publix. And she's all into crystals and all this other stuff. And so one time she found out that Dave the dog isn't doing so good, so she wanted to do some kind of crystal wave therapy, something or other. And the more she started, the more she went on describing it, the more crazy I was thinking she was. And I didn't want it to show on my face. And she's looking at me and she's going, oh, you think I'm crazy? And I'm like, oh, dang. I didn't say a word, it showed on my face. And it was a while after that I saw her, and I'm like, hey, how are you? Oh, good, good. How's your dog? And I said, and I told her, and she says, yeah, when I told you about that, you thought I was crazy. And I just did, again, I didn't say a word. I didn't want my opinion to show on my face, you know. So sometimes it's good to have your opinion within you so people can't see it, you know. Like sometimes you find yourself maybe in a group setting where somebody in a very loud way wants to tell you their opinion about something, and you're like, I don't want to get in a conversation with you. You can say your stuff. I don't want you to know what I think. I just want to let it go. But that ability to have something going on within us and not let it show on the outside can be a bad thing. Within relationships, there can be trust that is broken. And one person becomes very good at doing something and hiding it from another one. And I've heard people say before, I never saw it coming. I looked at them and they just seemed normal and I had no idea they were doing. And then they went on to describe something that was shocking. So it is possible for us to have stuff going on within us that other people are absolutely unaware of. But the truth is that it doesn't operate like that between us and God. And it's within us where His work needs to be going on. And it is within us where very important things need to take place. Like Jesus says, a new command that I have for you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. Now, if we could kind of flesh that out a little bit, he doesn't say, Doug Lane, I want you to love Scott and Amy Hutton like I love you. That's easy. I already love Scott and Amy Hutton. He's not saying, Doug Lane, I want you to just love, you know, Pat and Sharon. I already love Pat and Sharon. He says, I want you to love one another. There might be people on the one another list that I wouldn't have included. Including the lady at Publix. Yeah. Including the crazy lady who lives behind me in my neighborhood, who swears at her dog all the time. What did you just say to your dog? Now see, I can be polite to the lady at Publix. Oh, God forgive me. And I wouldn't do this. But I could be polite to her to her face and revile her in my heart. And the lady who curses at her dog down the hill from me. I could smile and hate her guts in my heart. You see, the place where the work needs to begin is not in what I'm saying or how I'm acting, because I can say the right things and I can act the right way, but within the heart, things could be very different. And the meditations of our heart are important to the Lord. It's the meditations of our heart that are where we are as real as we can possibly be. And I believe that it is this, in the meditations of our heart, I think that's where God's going to judge us. Because there's some times when I have seen and I have known people that have absolutely done their very best. But it's not like there's been a whole lot of fruit that has come out of that particular effort. I know in my heart of hearts that God was super pleased because He knows what really happened. And people just look and see the outside. But God knows the rest of the story. This week I've been thinking a little bit about what happened in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to be looking at Genesis 2 for just a couple minutes here. God created a beautiful, beautiful garden, all kinds of nice things in it. And everything Adam and Eve had a green light to, except what you find in verse 9. And the Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It appears to me that there's two trees there. appears to me. So it sounds like there were two trees in the middle of the garden. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think. And they were told that they weren't supposed to have anything to do with them. Let's look at it one more time. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and there it separated. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone," so he made her help, made him a helper. So Adam and Eve, having a good time in the garden. Eve is the one who bit first. Neither one of them should have, but she bit first. Now, I think that working in a school, we see something like this play out all the time. In school, we try to instill Christian values on all the kids who are in the school. So we tell them that drinking and drunkenness are bad, they should never do it. And we tell them that drugs are bad, they should never do it. And we tell them that God is important and he should always be a part of their lives. And he should read the word every day and they should pray every day and they should live like Jesus. But there's a number of our kids that the second that they get their freedom and they hit about 18, that they want to try out all the things that they feel were kept from them. I remember I had somebody say to me one time, he says, "As soon as I graduated and I was out on my own, I wanted to watch every single R movie that my parents told me that I shouldn't watch." And I'm like, "Why?" They said, "Well, I wanted to see what I was missing." I know plenty of folks that were like, "Well, I was told I should never try this, but I would like to try it for myself and then make my own decision." And you sort of have the same situation that you have with Eve. Eve was curious. Adam fell along right with it. It's not like they were hungry. It's not like they had a legit need in their life. They were just curious. And they had a rule, but they thought that they just wanted to try it. And it had huge consequences because they did. And there's plenty of things in life that we would be best not to try because our lives are better when we don't have any knowledge of those things. I don't know anything about how they cut heroin. I don't know what blow is. I don't know what people do with meth. You know what I mean? There's lots of things that it's good that you don't know about. People that are heavily into pornography know what the best sites are out there. And know what the movies are to watch or the places to go. How do they know? Because they've educated themselves in that. And you could take a whole host of sinful areas. I mean, you could take someone who their issue in life is stealing. And if you'd look in their closet, they would have clothing that they have bought specifically because they know if they could wear it, they could get things out of the store. Like, you ever seen one of those movies? They'll pull someone out for shoplifting, and the next thing you know, they're pulling all this stuff out of their clothes, and you're like, "How did you do that?" They didn't just do it. They practiced. They planned their outfit. They've done this before. You see, in their hearts, in the meditations of their hearts, that's where they have become an expert thief. And for the person who's heavily involved in the pornography stuff, it's in the meditations of their heart that they have become an expert in those areas. And you could take all these various areas of sin, and we do not need to be educating ourselves in them. We need to do kind of like what that old hymn, Holiness Unto the Lord, says, raiment unsullied nor tarnished with sin, God's Holy Spirit abiding within. Because I got to tell you, the things that you soil yourself with are the things that are going to be running through your mind. Now, I know for a lot of us, the thing that we've been thinking about the past couple days is the hurricane. I understand that. When I started Sunday school class this morning, it really took a lot to get our class on track to start studying our scripture. But then I used this one illustration. I mentioned something about the hurricane. And before you know it, the whole class was completely off track again as we're talking about hurricane again. I understand. It's because for the past couple of days, that is what has really had our attention. Well, and I know you can't help a hurricane. Is there any time in your day when the meditations of your heart are attuned to God and thinking about Him and thinking about His Word and thinking about what He has told you? And it's in that inner part of us, the meditations of our heart. We want the meditations of our heart to be pleasing to God. We want Jesus' lordship to be happening within us. So maybe you've been busy, busy, busy thinking about your things about your work. You want to be doing your work in a way that is God-honoring. Maybe you got some project that you're working on the side. And you find when you're not at work, you're thinking about the project. Okay. Nothing sinful about that. But you want to approach all those things in a way that's honoring to God. The most important thing in the world is not the project. It's just something fun. Most important thing in the world is the Lord. And when He is reigning on the inside of us, nothing but good is going to come from it. Nothing but good. Proverbs 3:18 says, God's word is a tree of life. There's a very real sense in which God's word is like the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it's been put in our hands. You want to know what's right? You got it. You want to know what God thinks about things? You've got it. You want the pattern by which you're supposed to build your life upon? You got it right here. All right. Please turn with me to Ezekiel 47. And I want to end my message with this. Ezekiel 47. We're going to begin with verse 1. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is truly reigning within us, it is going to cause things to change around us. It's going to affect relationships, and it's going to affect the people around us. And in the long run, it's going to bring nothing but good. And it doesn't matter what kind of family you are from or what your workplace is like. It doesn't matter. If the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning in your heart in life, it is going to overflow, and it's going to bring good around you. And in this passage of Scripture, I think you're going to see a wonderful little illustration of what it's like. Ezekiel 47, beginning with verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. And this is a temple they talk about that has not been built yet, that they're saying will be built sometime in the future. And you could say, is this a legitimate physical building, or is he talking symbolic language? I'm not 100% sure, but I think you're going to see where we're going as we look at this. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Now, the reason that I think they're using symbolic language is because if not, you'd think there was a water leak and you'd be wanting to call the water authority and they'd be here with backhoes trying to dig up a broken pipe. But as you look at it, you're going to see there's a whole lot more to it than just a broken pipe. It says there was water coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. So something within the temple, the end result was you had water flowing out from that place. And as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. And he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. And he measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to my waist. And he measured off 1,000. But now it was a river that no one could cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. And he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" So water was coming out from the temple and it was ankle deep. But you know, the further you went and the more it spread out, it wasn't getting absorbed into the ground and it wasn't dissipating. The more it flowed out, it was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And I want to tell you, in a very real way, if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ reigning in your hearts, if the meditations of your heart is where Jesus Christ reigns as Lord, it is going to affect the people in your workplace. It's going to affect your neighbors in your neighborhood. It's going to affect your family. It is going to affect them, and it's going to affect them from the good. And there's going to be a ripple effect in your life, a ripple effect around you. And you're going to find that more and more and more people are going to be affected. And you're part of that. You're part of that wave that's going on. And the more it spreads out, the deeper it gets. Thinking Ezekiel about this river, it's like the longer it goes, the deeper it's going. So beautiful, though. Let's go on a little bit further. Verse 6, he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And then he led me back to the bank of the river. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. And when it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. And it swarms with living creatures that live wherever the river flows." And I want to tell you what, when you get God's Spirit at work in a place, you're going to see things flower and come to life that have never been alive before. I've seen people before that had these awful messed up lives and they lived in these awful messed up families and everything was just dark and depressing. And then all of a sudden it's like the light of truth has come into their lives and the Lord Jesus Christ has stepped into that home. And all of a sudden you watch people start having dreams they've never dreamed before and they start wondering about things that they never even considered. And you see people blossom and you see life come. And what used to be the screwed up dysfunctional family is now becoming the healed family. And now it's growing to become the family that is a blessing to other families. "When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. And there'll be a large number of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh so that the river flows where it flows. Everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglim, and there will be places for spreading nets, and the fish will be of many kind, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamp and marshes will not become fresh because they'll be left for salt. And fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river, and the leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. And every month they'll bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows from them, and the fruit will serve for food for the leaves for the healing. The water flowing out of the sanctuary. And you know, the truth is what goes on in this place among us is supposed to be something that as it flows out from us, our workplace is blessed. Because what happened here in church on Sunday? And your school is blessed because of what happened here on Sunday. And your family is blessed. And your children are blessed. And people that don't even know anything about this church, they are blessed because of what happens in here within you because of what Jesus is doing. Let's turn to the very end of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter, what was it, chapter 20? And we're going to see another river. Chapter 22, Revelation 22. And then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal. There's going to come a time when God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And listen to how his place operates. Water is clear as crystal. No one needs bottled water because there's no pollution here. Flowing down from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Remember in the Garden of Eden, they were told they can't partake of the tree of life because you'll live forever. And here you're seeing there's the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. It says the Lamb will be in the city. And the Lamb, that's a capital L. They're talking about Jesus there. And his servants will serve him. And you know what? When you go up to see Jesus, you can hold his hand. But if you hold his hand, you will find that the scars from the nail prints are there. And they are not gory, they are beautiful, because they will remind you every time you look at them that you are loved and he had a plan for you. It says the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face. We will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer any night, for they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the Spirit of the prophets, sent his angels to show his servants the thing which must take place soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And I leave you where I started at the beginning. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in his sight. That's our prayer. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would reign within you. And I just pray that what is going on within you is like a wonderful service of praise. I pray that love is within you in such a measure that it comes out in the things you say. It comes out in the way you look at people. That even if you don't say a word, people can sense that there's something within you, and the thing that is within you is something good. May Jesus reign within you. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up and close out our time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray in the depths of our soul, that part of us that only you can really see, I pray that you would reign. I know that Jeremiah warned us that our hearts can be deceitful. We can even fool our own self. We can have part of ourselves that we aren't even aware of how bad parts of us are. We can have rotten attitudes about things and not even see it. I can think in history class, I've heard these stories about people that were slave owners that were so cruel to their slaves. But then they'd go off to church and have fun with their church friends and then come home and be cruel to their slaves. And they didn't even realize there was a problem, because their heart was deceitful above all things. And Lord, I pray that wouldn't be the way with us. Search our hearts and know us, O Lord. See if there would be anything within us that would not be pleasing to you, and expose it so it could be healed and cleansed. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now we belong to you, Lord. Our times are in your hands. Bless us and bless this little church. And I know, Lord, in the grand scheme of things, we're just so small. But I know, Lord, that little is much when placed in your hands. And may we please you. And may we accomplish great things for your kingdom. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.